Hello everyone and welcome to the round 7 roundup reaction. Hopefully you all can hear me okay. Bit of a interesting week of Supercoach and footy. A couple of really tight games there. Not probably the most conducive week for Supercoach scoring, but a few big scores I'm seeing, i.e. over 1100. Wasn't really the high scoring week. Anyone who's considering like what's a par score, did an average of Podmasters and it was about 1023. So 1025 was the average in that league. So I kind of feel like over 1,000, you're fine. If you've got over 1,100, you've had a pretty good week. Like Jackson, top of the chat, saying 1124, putrid week. 100%, that is not a putrid week. That is a really good score this week. I think only 6 players, as David said, turned up. So really big scores weren't really a thing. And we all probably got saved with Nathan Cleary updating. He was the most highly captained player. Went from 58 to 86, got the additional try assist. And yeah, got a few extra points there as well, as he always does. But yeah, so 1170 from Martin. Hello to a few people in the chat. Will, 964, delete the app territories. To be honest, it's one of those weeks where I feel like if you had a poor week, I think most people didn't have a good week, or just it wasn't a very exciting week. So just kind of shrug it off, move on to the next week. And it's probably a good week to have a bad week, if that makes sense. You know, when, you know, the variance in points isn't that big. So I wouldn't stress too much about it. Will, Paycheck, KP, David Coleman, Harry, Davey K, Mark as always, Nathan Kembry, Liam, Daniel, Moz as always, Sambo, Peter, Stuart, thank you all for being in the chat and joining me on this Sunday evening. So I ended up scoring 1,006, so I just cracked 1,000, so obviously not a fantastic week. I probably expect to stay, maybe I might go down a little bit in rank, maybe I'll go up a little bit. It's kind of a nothing week, to be honest. I think we'll just move on and take it. In terms of the trade that I ended up doing, I was umming and ahhing so much on Thursday. If you follow my Twitter, you could tell how indecisive I was around trades. I ended up taking out Hopgood to Schuster just to downgrade to make some money. I thought Schuster out this week, but reports were that he was going to be back next week against the Tigers. So I thought he's probably the downgrade that I want eventually anyway. So I did that. And instead of taking out Stefano or Chikumanu, I actually upgraded Davey Mwali, of course, to Tom Gilbert. Mwali goes out and scores 50+, typical. I went to Gilbert just because of the price. I had to boost if I wanted to get up to like Joe Tarpany, and he actually didn't do that well this week anyway. And Gilbert did fine with 53. And the reason I didn't take out Stefano was just that in week 9, Welch has got a bye, and if I want to get to Tarpany, I can, or if I want to get to Payne Haas. Otherwise, I can just play Gilbert and Oichikumanu that week and just leave it be. So Welch and Gilbert will be the plod kings at the front of the front row forward. And yeah, Stefano can come in to cover it if I need to. So I didn't want to just kind of pencil myself into having to do Welch to Tarpany in round 9 if I'd upgraded Stefano. So that was the main reason why I upgraded Mwali instead. But apart from that, no other change in the team, apart from those 2 trades. So again, I still didn't use a boost. I feel like I'm just ticking away, just making 2 trades a week, like little bitty, itty bitty, 2 trades, 2 trades, 2 trades, no boosts or anything. So we'll just have to use a boost, I think, when it's warranted. Obviously, this week, big talking point will be Karaz. You know, obviously, unfortunately, got that injury to the knee. I think he's looking at 3 to 6 weeks potentially for an MCL. So he's probably going to be a pretty popular sell. He did have a high break even coming into this week with 101. Scored 6. So he's going to obviously go massively down in price. I would suspect based on a starting price of 730K, he's probably going to lose like 60, 70K or something. So I think he'd be around that mid 600s. So yeah, a few options that you can trade to. You know, maybe a second or forward via duels. Maybe a Ruben Garrick is probably the standout, probably gun that you can swap to straight away. He himself has got a high break even, but he's got the Tigers and then the Titans, so a couple of good matchups coming up. So he's probably one who I'll be looking at. I do think Karaz will probably be a sell. And yeah, it could just be a good way to free up cash. Obviously, the likes of Alamotti did okay, 44. Warbrick and Campera both met their break even, so they should have a little bit more cash to go in them. Campera still could have another couple of weeks of rises in him. And Campera was looking to potentially move to Garrick, but it looks like with this Karaz injury, he could be the one instead. So Campera could just sit there to make some more cash. And obviously with this injury to Karaz, we might get a cheapy winger in Skelton, I think is the name, for the Bulldogs. So he could be someone who can come in and give us a nice exit to downgrade, for example, because we could tell that this week was a bit of a struggle to go for downgrade options. So yeah, I think that's an initial trade thought. Karaz probably to Garrick, and then from there we'll kind of see how it goes. Dual bags just kind of ticking along, Anyone who went Cody is probably obviously laughing now. You've gotten back-to-back tons after updates. Dilbags hasn't really cut the mustard in that sense, but he's doing fine. He's solid enough, and look, I'll be patient with him. I've made my bed getting him, and we'll try to get Cody maybe in, say, round 11 when Rabbitoh's draw starts to open up a little bit. But yeah, so I finished on 1,006, pretty standard, Captain Cleary. Seeing a few other people's scores, seeing a bit of interest for Joey Manu. To be honest, I know Joey Manu has come down in price, but I personally haven't seen enough just from the eye test to suggest that he's actually a buy at this stage. I know he's going to come down a lot in price, but he's not really featured yet in my thinking. Obviously, we know that he's a gun. He had a crazy 2022. I haven't really seen it yet. And even again, the Roosters, pretty clunky. I guess I did well on the tipping this week. I did tip 7 out of 8 games, so that was good. The only one I got wrong was the Manly game. I tipped the Storm. And I know it sounds harsh as well. I'm a Roosters fan. I tipped against them, but I know the Roosters had a bit of a hoodoo over the Sharks where they had won like the last 7 games. But I just thought, I don't know, I'm kind of into the whole teams coming off a bye thing. And so I thought Sharks come off a bye. They'll have 2 weeks just to work on the defense. And because we know the attack's good. And I was just not sure with the Roosters. So look, I tipped Sharks and obviously that came through. But I was a bit disappointed as a Roosters fan. But anyway, it was an emotional hedge, I guess. Dreadful week for Supercoach, but a perfect week for tipping, as Don says. Yeah, I think if you had just tipped Manly, I think a lot of people might have tripped up on that Manly game and probably the Sharks game. I think everything else, Warriors-Cowboys was a bit of a coin flip. I tipped the Warriors. Panthers-Knights, in the end, Panthers was obviously the favourite coming in, but it was a very, very tight game. Really impressive performance again from Newcastle. They're looking really good. And then Broncos-Raiders and then Eels, I think, and then Rabbitohs, I think all the favourites. So I think a lot of people would have done well in the tipping. But yeah, anyway, that's the tipping side of things. The Supercoach side of things. What are we looking at doing for this week? So I think, so Matt says, I think I'll wait a week on Karaz. Also not sold on Manu or Teddy yet. Yeah, to be honest, like I've got the Rooster scores up. Obviously, a bit of a tight game. Only scored 12 points. But, sorry, let me just move the slide up a little bit. So seeing the likes of, you know, what did Manu score? 33. Teddy 42, and to be honest, that 42, like, he just had a lot of, I'd be interested to see actually how many tackle busts he got, because a lot of times he was just doing those kind of sideways, crabby style runs, and I feel like he may have just gotten a few junk tackle breaks from that. Yeah, exactly, look at that, 16 points in tackle busts. So there weren't, like, the tackle, like, obviously for Supercoach, it's fine, we like those points, but it was definitely those crabby style of tackle busts, which weren't really having much impact. So I know Teddy's coming down to a very, very cheap price. They do have a decent draw coming up. I know that's probably why people are interested in the Roosters. So they've got the Dragons next week. Then it's the Warriors, Cowboys, Panthers, Dragons again before the bye. So that Dragons matchup is looking good. It looks like that Warriors game is at Mount Smart Stadium, so that does not look easy. Cowboys in Magic Round. Cowboys, again, looking like just not looking good at all, like very clunky in attack again. I did think the Warriors did get rub with the green from the referees and the penalties side of things, and just some of those bunker calls and, you know, the captain's challenges. I just felt like overall Warriors got it slightly in their favor, but I still did think they were the better team, so they probably did deserve to win. The Cowboys very, very clunky in attack. Panthers is obviously tough, and then it's the Dragons again. So I can see some merit in going for someone like Teddy, maybe Manu. Like if Manu is very, very cheap, I think he was about 700k coming into this week. And I think if he goes down, he had a break even of 144, scored 33, so he'll be in the 600s. Yeah, look, Karaz to Manu will probably get you a little bit of money. You know, you don't have to actually spend much to get up to Manu, but, and I can see the appeal. Dragons is a good matchup, but, I don't know, I still feel like I haven't seen a lot on the eye test. Mazu Asel. I don't think so necessarily. I mean, he scored like, what, 30-something points. It was against the Panthers. It was a very tough game. 42 points. 42 points in a game where, you know, he didn't score any tries, had no attacking stats. It was mainly tackle busts and things like that. I mean, look at that. 32 points in runs. So 33 in base with the tackle bust, which is pretty standard for Mazu. Like 42 against the Panthers when he scored no tries. To me, that's fine. And we're seeing enough out of the Newcastle Knights. I think that they're definitely an improved team. The first couple of weeks were a little bit sketchy, but since then they really have improved. Defensively, very solid as well. Not bad in attack. And I mean, the Panthers are just, like, obviously the best defensive team. So, like, he hasn't been one who I've been thinking about selling to this point, Greg. And just looking at the draw, I know the draw is not the best for the Knights, but to be honest, Cowboys, is anyone really that concerned about a Cowboys matchup just based on their current form? Probably not. Parramatta, yes, they're a good team, but Parramatta still can concede points. They have these things, again, even today, just periods where they kind of dip in and out of games and intensity and things. So I have no issues with Mazu against Parramatta. Then it's the Titans. That's great. Sharks, we know, can concede points. And then it's Manly covering the bye in round 13. The fact that he covers round 13 is very, really important. And I think if he can get named again this week, because I think this was the matchup where we may have had some concern, where bad defensive reads, which, to be fair, To'o did stroll through for a try. But if he gets named again and he's playing well, I'd be shocked if he doesn't get named again. And the fact that he covers round 13, and really in that draw coming up, it's maybe Sharks Manly that I'm more concerned about, but those other games, I think, are fine. So for me, I'm not really considering selling Mazu, even though the score, 42, look, I think just putting it into context, 42, no tries against the best defensive team. It just, to me, just screams solid floor and happy to hold, I think. And he did have a couple of half chances where he was close to scoring as well. Sorry, I'm late, Amon. What is the par in this week in Podmasters? It was 10.23. So I feel like over 1,000 score is fine. Obviously, another injury is Kalomatungi. So there's obviously going to be some implications there for anyone who maybe jumped on Kalomatungi. You know, he's looks to be out for 6 to 8 weeks with a syndesmosis. So that may open up more minutes again for Mwali longer term. Maybe Jai Arrow, for example, he scored quite well on his return, 75 points. Wow, that's actually a lot higher than I thought. No attacking stats either. 30 in tackles, if you count for the missed. 12 in tackle busts, 4 in offloads, lots of runs. 586k, it's not bad, it's not bad. And he was named on the... I think he was named to start, and then in the game day he was on the bench. But I think he still played majority of minutes over Harmsele. I think he played... Let me have a quick look at it here. He played 61 minutes. 61 minutes through the middle is quite good. Playing on the edge, if he does get moved to the edge with Kalomatungi out, that probably reduces his PPM a little bit, but good for his minutes probably. Otherwise, maybe they put Jed Cartwright on the edge, maybe. Not too sure, but yeah, could be an interesting one, Jai Arrow. Won't be good through the origin period. I suspect he would get named for Queensland, but maybe a good shout at a pretty decent price. Obviously, he wouldn't be changing in price given that this was only his first game of the season. Miller got his first score below 50 this week. Yeah, look, Miller, I think, was... he had a couple of knock-ons, and also the Knights need probably a more consistent goal kicker. He lost points from goal kicking as well, if I'm going to go down to Miller. 32 points. Yeah, minus 6 in goal kicks. That's obviously not helping. And, yeah, he had minus 6 in errors. So, you know, if you add back even the errors, we're looking at 38. So, yeah, obviously not the best week, but he's been killing it so far. And against a matchup against the Panthers, when they only scored 15 points, it's kind of hard to, you know, it's more of an outlier than what I think we're expecting from the likes of Mazu Miller. So we're not too concerned, I think, with them. I know Madison is attracting some interest. Now, I know he was involved in the tackle with Karaz. I only was able to listen to that part of the game when Karaz got injured. So I haven't seen back if there was any involvement from him that was undue or, you know, potentially harmful. So it'd be interesting to see if there's anything out of the game in terms of charges. But yeah, if he's playing, then Madison obviously was he was interesting, I think, coming into this week. And he had a really good score this week, helped by a try assist, I think, for Pennacini's try. I think that little offload he did, yeah, so 87 points. So he got the he got a try assist and a try contribution, and a couple of line break assists as well. So yeah, and Madison, we know, is a gun for Supercoach. So I think he will definitely attract interest. I think this was his third game back. So he had a break even of 75. So he'll go up a little bit in price. So he'll be around 700K. So I think if you're a Karaz owner and you've got duels and you want to stock up in your second or forward, Madison is definitely a good shout. Obviously covers the buyers as well. And what was I going to say? Yeah, I guess the only question is origin. But, you know, with Kalomatungi out now as well, does that open up an edge spot? Madison has been involved. He was playing last year, actually, origin, of course. Oluquatu could end up being the one in the edge instead of Madison, but obviously we're still a few weeks away from that, so I think there's no harm going on Madison. You're probably likely to get, like, he's good for 65 every week. He's just that type of player. named on the edge. I think he played the full 80 minutes as well. I know there was a late switch where Hopgood actually started. Matt Drury got named on the bench, and I think that was because of Hodgson. Has anyone heard anything on Hodgson being out? If I missed it, please let me know in the chat if there's anything about Hodgson, because obviously that has implications as well for Brendan Hands, who I think played the full 80 minutes as well. Hands did play... Yeah, he played the full 80, and yes, Madison played 60 minutes. Okay, so I must have missed him getting subbed off. Maybe he played a bit of a mix of middle and edge. Matt Drury obviously could be an AE nightmare if he keeps getting 11 minutes, that's for sure. No hip drop from Maddo, won't get charged. Normal tackle, no issues. Okay, well, it sounds as though it's okay, but we'll obviously wait and see. But I do like that Madison is someone who doesn't, if he doesn't play Origin, will cover those buys, and will probably be one of the more important players to own for that first bye week, because they, we're looking at a gun second or forward in a good Parramatta team who, to be honest, won't lose a lot during Origin. They'll lose probably Junior Paolo, Campbell Gillard maybe. I guess those two are quite important. They had a pretty good stint out today as well. But apart from that, like Moses, Dylan Brown, Gutherson, their outside backs, a lot of them guys still play during Origin. So Parramatta as a team generally don't get affected too much. So one of the teams who are important at targeting, I think, during this season's bye periods, just because they've got a pretty settled team and obviously a good team at that. How many minutes did Tohu Harris play? He played 62 minutes. His score was a bit boosted by, I think he got a line break assist and a try assist, I want to say, for Fanua Blake, who I did not think about at all as a front row forward. Neither did I think about Ruben Cotter. Both of them score a try, of course. But yeah, so looking at Tohu Harris, yeah, he did get a try assist and a line break assist in there for his 63. So 43 in base with outside of that. So first game back from an injury, he's probably going to slowly ramp it back up. Sean Johnson still keeps killing it, 69 points, nice. But we saw Hines, Cleary just turning it on. You know, Cleary 86 in the end, Hines I think 81 with a great second half as well. Hodgson had the flu. Okay, runny nose and a broken toenail, as Jackson says. Okay, is that with the flu? So it's probably not going to be long term. So it'll be interesting to see if he comes back. I suspect that Hands will go straight back to the bench, and they may keep Hopgood at lock, starting lock, and Madison on the edge, but that probably kicks out Matt Drury again from the bench. So at least that gets rid of one AE nightmare in my team. What round can we do five trades? I don't think that five trade round exists anymore, Yubashuri. Instead, what it is now is that in the major bye weeks, so that's round 13, 16, and 19, you can make three trades normally, but then you could use a boost to get up to four trades. So I think that's the maximum that you can do. I don't think there's any more that five trade week that we used to have when there was only two major bye weeks. What to do about Karaz? Yeah, look, if Karaz is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks, I think at his price tag, I mean, he's been obviously very, very good. I'll be interested again to see what NRL Physio says about him in terms of potential return to performance after he returns from that injury. But obviously a lot of Karaz, and the reason why we liked him was that he had good base stats, lots of runs. Knee injury, if that's going to impact him on return, plus with a lot of good options that you can move to at that price, you know, you can take a punt on a Sharks winger like Mulatalo, Katoa, Ramian. You can go to Garrick, the Dolphins players, maybe potentially still if you wanted to go on like a Tabuai Fadoa or an Asako, or with Jules, Madison, Jai Arrows, Dunn had a good week as well. Like there's just a lot of options, right? So I think he is probably going to be a sell. I'll just be interested to see who the replacement is, because Braden Burns was named in team list, but then he got cut and Ockenball played on the wing instead. I suspect maybe they keep Braden Burns back in the team. It'd be nice if we got that cheapy Skelton, because I think he's bottom dollar. So yeah, for me, I would like that, but Supercoach gods might not be as kind to us as we like. Guys, if you're enjoying the stream as well, please do give it a like as well. There's 167 of you watching, which is fantastic, but only 14 likes. Let's bump that up. Sad that I did Gilbert over Cotter. To be honest, I really didn't consider Cotter too much. I just went Gilbert because I didn't really think about Cotter, to be honest. And look, line break try for 81. I mean, 61 without it is fine, but oh well. Oh well, apart from the front, like in the front row forward, apart from the ones who scored a try, I was really paying Haas again. 76 points. I think he's ended up on 76 points. He's ended up on, 76. But apart from that, like really not much variance. You know, Gilbert 53, Tarpany 49, Mawali 53 or whatever he ended up scoring. Ford and Nickel Klukstad were so underwhelming. Yes, they were a bit underwhelming. Ford did have a lot of errors in this game, which really was quite frustrating to watch. So, like, base stats are good. Like, you know, 31 in tackles plus the runs. You know, looking at 43 in base. But the problem is that he had, well, only minus 4 in errors. But, yeah, just didn't obviously get much of the ball going his way in attacking sense. Probably the slight downside with him, I guess, is that he's playing on the left. Warriors, you can see that SJ is running the show. So that's kind of the reason why I did like Murata Nukore as well from the start of the year. I thought playing outside of SJ should hopefully get more ball and some attacking stats. And he did end up scoring a try. But obviously now he's out with suspension. And yeah, seeing Nickel Klukstad, yeah, not exactly what I would have expected. You know, the numbers he's been putting up is more like 40 base. Only 29 here. I think he also had some errors. Yeah, minus 6 in errors. So it was a very stop-start game as well. Just a lot of penalties and bunker reviews and all. A few of the games were like that. You know, I think, which game was it? It was the second half of another game that went for a very long time. I'm just trying to remember it off the top of my head. But just a lot of constantly going. Oh, that's right. It was the, I think it was the Manly Storm game from memory. Like the second half was just, it took forever. It was just so much time spent doing bunker reviews or whatnot. Dury to Couchman to free up some cash. I will admit I did not watch this Raiders Dragons game. I was out during the day, so I missed it, but I'll definitely try to go watch and at least watch the highlights again. How much did Couchman score? Our boy Couchman. Only 15. Not ideal. Let me just have a quick look at what the minutes were like for him. 15 is not great. Let's see. Only 18 minutes. So it seemed obviously last week his minutes were a bit inflated with, I think it was Michael Molo or some other player got sin-binned or whatnot. Only 18 minutes is, yeah, potentially puts a red line through him if that's what he's going to be. So just pray and fingers crossed that we get a good... I'm hoping Schuster is back. I know a lot of people have gone on Schuster in the last few weeks just to try to get some downgrade option. But apart from that, really no one's standing out. Is Jack Bird a potential buy? I mean, 57. I'll need to go back and watch this game, see if he looked good. I mean, 57 is fine. But it's not like he's cheap. If he was like early 400s or mid or like 300s, I'd be much more tempted. At 557K, I don't know if I'd be... I'm not sure how tempted I am. Granted, I did buy Gilbert, who obviously a different position in front row forward, but similar price and... someone who I was expecting to get 55 to 60. I think it's different though when Gilbert's in my front row forward, but you're kind of just happy to take those 50 60s. Whereas center wing, second row forward, you kind of probably want to, when you sign to pay like 550K, 600K, you want to be getting the guys who are like maybe punching out 60s. I know he had a couple of good weeks before that. I don't know. Maybe I'm being biased, but I probably just need to give a bit more consideration to Dragons players, but really I'm not really looking at too many of them in general. Tarpany 49. So going down in price, which is good for any non-owners. The Raiders have the buy next week. But then in round 9 could be a pickup for a little bit cheaper, given that Welch will have the buy in that week as well. 80 minutes Jack Bird played. That is good if he played 80 minutes on the edge. But yeah, I just don't know about Dragons players in general. But I'll try to keep the blinkers off and be a bit more objective if I can. I mean, the scores are not bad, right? Like, I think he had a couple of back-to-back 70s in the last couple of weeks, and then a 57 this week. So he's doing fine. He's ticking along. Walsh, an absolute stud again. Yeah, Walsh, like, I mean, obviously Latrell was the fullback who got the most points this week. I think he ended up on, like, 120. But this was the two games where, you know, Latrell had the Bulldogs and then the Dolphins. And I know Walsh's good run has kind of come to an end if you look at it. So just flicking across the Broncos. So you've got Parramatta in round 8. Now, Parramatta, again, that game doesn't stress me out from a Supercoach standpoint for Walsh. Like, I know Parramatta have got a thing where they do concede points to opposition to fullbacks. Rabbitohs is decent game. Well, it's not decent, but it's a tough game. Rabbitohs have been pretty good defensively, but it is at home. Manly obviously had a very good defensive performance. Then it's Melbourne and then Penrith and then... does cover round 13, but obviously there's a chance where if Ponga isn't back and not deemed eligible for Origin, very good chance that it's one of Brimson or Reece Walsh who plays in Origin, and just based on current form and Brimson being injured, you would suspect that it would be Reece Walsh. So I'm kind of looking at him like, he's not giving me any reason or excuse to sell him. Like, he just keeps on delivering. Like, he's had an amazing start to the year. Still going up in price. He's probably somewhat peaked now in price. But Parramatta, I think, is okay. And the thing is as well, is that you've got Luttrell going into Penrith, Broncos, Melbourne before the Tigers in round 11. You've got maybe Teddy. Teddy's one who potentially you could jump on with a decent draw coming up as well. But he, like, how much has he shown compared to someone like Reece Walsh, who's been delivering? So it's an interesting one, because I think this is the period of time where we're all happy to keep Reece Walsh, but whether we sell him now is going to be tough. And at this point in time, he's not really giving me any reason to sell. And especially, like, I think if there was another fullback standing out there, like, screaming to buy, like, I know Luttrell has gone back-to-back hundreds, but I'm not loving the games that are coming up. Like, I think Reece Walsh can score the same about as the same as him. So whether I need to make that trade is up for debate. Teddy could be the one, maybe, but, you know, not really seeing. I just don't know. I've just not got a feeling that he's probably the one to go for. So maybe it's a pod that you can jump to, but I think for now he's probably going to be a hold for me. Jeremy Marshall King, what a gun. Yeah, so just let's just, now that we've been chatting a little bit about Luttrell and stuff, let's quickly chat about this game. So obviously the first half, Dolphins were good, but then obviously the Rabbitohs just came back in the second half and took it away from them. Now, I actually, again, this game, I missed bits and pieces of it. I haven't seen in full I think it's the Campbell Graham second try. I know there was a bit of controversy. Let me know in the chat as well about, I think someone got run off the ball or something like that. It didn't get picked up by the bunker, and it was a bit of a big kerfuffle. And I think there was also a sin bin in there as well. I mean, I think I saw a stat that after seven rounds in 2021, there was 16 sin bins, and we're on 42 this season. So, like, the sin bins and stuff are just going crazy. But yeah, obviously Luttrell and Cody Walker were the stars here. Big weeks from them. You know, Cody got some updates. I think he was on like 70-something before updates, but I think he hadn't gotten a try assist or a line break assist that he was owed as well. So yeah, 106 points from him. Mitchell doing well. I'm just looking at the draw and I'm thinking, can I buy them coming into Penrith? I know Turbo is a question mark. Is Turbo a sell from Tour Pro? Manly are versing the West Tigers this week. I cannot be suggesting to sell Trbojevic this week. Just it's Tigers and then it's the Titans. Let's say if you're selling Turbo for Luttrell, I would bank on Turbo outscoring him over the next 2 weeks. Tigers and Titans or Penrith and Broncos. Like, I know which fullback I'd rather have for these 2 weeks. So no, Turbo's not a sell for me. I know he probably is under his break-even, but to be honest, someone like Turbo, I'm not even really thinking too much about break-even. It's just thinking about who's going to get me the points. For me, it's Turbo, I think. So I will not be considering selling Turbo. Push in the back was a poor... Okay, push in the back, that's right. That sounds familiar. Thank you, Mr. Callio. Valheim sucks, 48 with a try. The try did come off without a line break, so it was off a kick from Drinkwater. But yeah, Cowboys have just been very underwhelming. And like, coming into the preseason, it was rounds 1 to 8, which is when we were thinking this is the Cowboys' golden run, stack up on them. They've now got this one more game against the Newcastle Knights, but to be honest, are the Knights looking that easy to score points against? Not really. I'm not expecting a lot out of Val Holmes there. Then you've got Sharks, Roosters, then you've got Dragons, and then the Tigers. I think the way that I'm seeing it with the Cowboys and Val Holmes, with this Karaz injury, he obviously becomes, he obviously becomes a bit more of a priority, I think, to move on. For me, with Val, I think I'm just going to cop it, I think, until round 13, just so that I can at least get that Dragons and Tigers game in there. And after that, look, they've got a bye in round 15. And, you know, if he misses round 13 with Origin, he's out. Then it's Melbourne, a bye, Penrith, Rabbitohs. And then, you know, he might miss games as well from rest with Origin. So for me, he's not really one who I think I'll be looking to hold during that Origin period. He can back up, but just based on current Cowboys form, not one I think I'll be looking to hold in that period. But for me, I think he will probably just stay in my team, I think, until round 13. I feel like I'm just going to always have something else that I'll want to do. And even just on trades, for example, I've used two trades pretty much every week, apart from week one where I saved. I've used one boost in round 3, and then since that, so round 4, 5, 6, and 7, I've been using two trades each week. I do want to, some point soon before Origin period, I do want to save maybe another one or two trades. this week probably won't be possible. I mean, if I can get, I don't think I'll be able to go Karaz to Garrick in one move. It'll probably be another double move of maybe Karaz to Garrick, maybe funded by a center wing draw downgrade. But hopefully the week after next or the week after that, you know, say round 9 or round 10, I want to try to save one or two trades, because we will, I think, need trades during this whole bye period. Because if you think about it, round 13 is obviously a big bye week. But then round 14, you've got three teams with a bye. You've got Parramatta, you've got Manly, and you've got Newcastle. Plus, you're going to have teams backing up from Origin, so players may rest as well. So round 14 is going to be a bit of a tricky week. Then it's round 15 is normal, but then you're back into another bye week in round 16. So like this period in the middle, I think, is going to be really important. If you've got ability, I think, to save a few trades up until then, just so you can be a bit more flexible in the week. If you can make a few more luxury trades during the Origin period, that might be able to help you out. So I am thinking about, trying to save in the next few weeks as well. One player I am very happy about who, Robbie Starr mentions is Fifita. Fifita has just been awesome. Like, just so happy just to have Fifita in the team, just locked in there. 82 points. He had one try contribution. The base stats, he's got base stats this season. What's going on? 31 in tackles, including the missed, and 25 in runs. So we're looking at 56 in base for Fifita. Now, that is not normally something I ever see with him. He's normally around like a early to mid 40s. 56 in base for Fifita, like, and if you chuck in the few tackle breaks that you know he's going to get every week, he's just going to get like mid-60s with ease, and hasn't even scored a try yet. So, yeah, very happy with Fifita. He might be someone who I sell during the Origin period, but I don't know. At this stage, he's not giving any reason for me to do that. Reece Walsh, Reece Walsh updated to 101. What a pleasant surprise. Very nice. Thank you, Reece, for your points. Really appreciate that. Payne Haas, let's just skip over you because I don't own you, so I'm not keen on that 76. I would have rather that be 7, but what can you do? Can't own everyone, I guess. Campera, thankfully, got that very, very junk try at the end, right? So went up another 17 points from his, he would have been on 46? He would have been on 46. He'll make some more money, which is nice. Downgrade option for Taruva. Yeah, so Taruva. So just looking at this Titans-Broncos game, I don't really think there's too much more to unpack from here. Payne Haas, we know, is a gun. Reece Walsh, we know, is a gun. Fifita's a gun. Campbell making some money. Tanner Boyd's doing okay, but I think a lot of people may have moved on already for Hines. Just looking at this Panthers game now, so do Penrith not like passing the ball to Taruva? Honestly, like, we already know Isaac Tungo doesn't like passing it to him, but bloody, even Cleary went down the short side, didn't pass it to him. I was like, he's open, man, he's open. Like, honestly, they hate passing it to him. Unbelievable. So I know I just keep playing him because it's a winger for a Penrith team who score points. Obviously, they didn't score the points this week. And next week will be a bit interesting with sit start. Like, Penrith have Rabideaus. So there is a chance that you don't play him this week. In terms of whether I sell him or not, like, I know someone's just suggested, is it time to downgrade him or something? Just for the fact that he plays for Penrith, I kind of feel like I'd rather just downgrade Alamotti or Campiera or Warbrick first. I don't know, because I just feel like Taruva's someone who I think, with confidence, I can play every week if I had to. The other three, not so much. Because Taruva does have good base stats, but of only 27 this week. But yeah, just doesn't get the ball. Just doesn't get the bloody ball. As someone said it here. I think I saw it in the chat earlier. Yeah, Robbie Starr says Taruva deserves more ball. Who to go from Karaz? Okay, sorry, that's a different question. I think we'll definitely be talking a bit more about Karaz trading options this week for sure. I'm seeing Manu thrown out there. Bought Targa this week, obviously not crazy happy. Yeah, Tungo, yeah, 36, so obviously not as good as what he's done the few weeks before. Crichton has got glue hands and does not pass to Brian To'o. Yeah, there was one play where I think he should have just passed, and I think To'o was just basically over for a try, or like it would have been tight, but he could have got it. Yeah, so I think both wingers are being impacted by some selfish players on their inside. Manu could easily ton up against the Dragons. Yeah, I know, Clone Commander, you're very keen on Manu. They are juicy trades, as Ange says. Manu and Teddy are juicy trades next week. I mean, if you could do like Karaz to Garrick, like if I know, I think if anyone doesn't own Garrick, I feel like he's probably the best trade in just because of the matchup, Tigers matchup followed by Titans, and you can kind of just lock him in for the season, and he does cover round 13, so you're kind of just making a very good trade there. If you already own Garrick, then I think that's when you can probably afford to be a little bit more punty. Maybe Campbell Graham, who's had a good week again, Joey Manu, we just saw the Roosters draw, it's not a bad draw, so you're really just hoping for Manu and Co to bounce back. Who else we got there? Maybe one of the Sharks actually. We'll quickly look at the Sharks draw. Sharks draw is pretty good now. Bulldogs, Cowboys, Dolphins, Manly, Newcastle. So there's a few decent games in there. No real tough opposition. I think, to be honest, Manly and Newcastle are probably the ones who look the toughest. And we know the Dolphins are obviously good too. Maybe someone like Omolatalo. I think he scored 59 points. Maybe a Katoa. So those are a couple of options I think that you could move to. And obviously if you've got duels, you can then obviously look to a second row forward. What was I going to say? Madison, for example. Just on second row forward, I'm seeing a few questions as well about Eli Katoa from the Melbourne Storm. So yeah, not a great week, only 38 points. Oh, I don't know, just one bad game. I don't know if he's a sell just on the back of that. Like, it was a very tough game. Manly definitely turned up. And I mean, up until this week, he's been killing it, right? Like, his lowest score, 38 is his lowest score this season. 45 before that. But before, like, we saw some big scores from him. And there are some scores in there, like that game against the Roosters, where he easily could have scored if not for a great try saver tackle. So some of those scores could be even higher. He does have the bye in round 9, so I feel like round 8, I think it's fine to just hold him, and then in round 9, look, if you really don't want to keep him, if it's another bad score, I think you can maybe sell at that point. He has made good money, it's up to 620k. He will go down a bit in price, obviously with 38. He'll probably drop down to just below 600, but he's probably made you still 200k, right? So it's not, even if you traded him the week after next, it's not going to be too bad. But one poor week feels a little bit reactionary, I think, to trade him. Hayden says Karaz to Garrick, Katoa or Hosking to Madison. Okay, so Karaz to Garrick, yep, I'd say lock that in. Katoa or Hosking to Madison. Out of those two, it'd probably be Katoa, just because he's got that buy in round 9. Just on Hosking, I know there's a little bit of chat coming into the Panthers game that Garner and Liam Martin were training and potentially a chance at usurping him, I guess. So Garner played in New South Wales Cup, which is encouraging for Hosking. The fact that Garner was fit, but he didn't play in the 17. And the thing with Liam Martin as well, he's only played, I think, about 34 minutes, and he got pulled off. I think he's actually re-aggravated his hamstring injury. So I think that already then gives more security to Hosking's start. If Liam Martin's re-aggravated that and could be again out for a few weeks, Hosking feels pretty safe, I think, and doesn't have that bye coming up. And 62 this week, just all in base again as usual. So for me, Hosking feels fine. I think he should be good security, job security wise, for the next few weeks, I think. So yeah, out of those two, it would probably be Katoa, if you wanted to go to Madison, but neither are urgent sells, I think, this week. Britton Nicara, from the Sharks, he's been killing it again. What did he end up scoring this week? I think he did score a try at the end, didn't he? Yeah, 84 points. I mean, he's in that golden spot, right? Like, just playing outside of Nicho Hynes. He is expensive, obviously, 736k, and I think he had a low break even. No, he had a 78 break even, so he will stay about the same in price. So yeah, Nicara could be a nice little pod if you're looking for a Sharks player. And that draw coming up for the Sharks is nice. So I do quite like Britton Nicara as a bit of a pod play, I think, in your second or forward. Madison probably is going to be maybe a little bit more popular just for that bye coverage. Nicara doesn't cover that bye, but those next 5 weeks could be really good. He could average 75, 80 during that period of time. Sel Murray killing me watching pass all game. Yeah, I mean, so look, it's, I'm not going to jump up here and celebrate. Yeah, you all should have sold Murray, etc., because the last 2 weeks he's gone 80 plus. But I think this is the reason why a lot of people did sell him when they did, because he was just passing the ball a lot, being a distributor, and just not getting as much of those big attacks, just not getting as much of the base stats, I guess. So, I mean, I feel like if you've held him through this period, how much is he priced at now? He is six. He made back a bit of money that he had lost, so he'll be hovering around the 680 price. It's a tough one. Like, I mean, if people are thinking going of Murray to say like Madison, I kind of feel like that trade is maybe one that I would just do. Probably closer to the Origin period, because we know Murray can still go 60, 65 most weeks and get those attacking stats, and the Rabbitohs are looking better as well for sure. So I don't know if he's a trade out. I feel like he's one who I'd say I'm assuming most people have now got the Hines Cleary combination, but let's say if you haven't yet and you had to go for someone like Cleary or Hines and he was your cash cow, I'd say go for it, go sell him. But I think the second row, but the variance in points probably isn't a whole heap. You know, Murray to Madison might be a difference of 5-10 points on average to Origin. So you might be able to make a bigger upgrade elsewhere in the squad. So Murray doesn't feel like an urgent sell. And look, he's had a bit of a down week, but his down week is still 50, which is looking, it's fine. And Tarouba out seems luxury. Look at the Panthers draw. Yeah, I think that, yeah, look, for me, Tarouba hasn't really crossed my mind yet, I think, to sell at this point. Should I go a week ahead and sell Cam Pereira? I don't think it's a bad idea to sell Cam Pereira early. I know he'll probably still make some more money now that he's gotten 63 with a break even of 5. But I think his that big 117 that he got a few weeks ago, that will drop out of his rolling average, I think, into this coming week. Just going to have a quick look at that score. Yeah, so his break-even will be based on the 16. Oh, no, the score will still be there for one more week. So he'll have 117, 16, and 63 in his three-round rolling average. But I guess, so next week he's probably still a good for maybe one more cash rise now that he's scored 63, based on whatever his break-even is. So Harry's saying Campo is looking at a 60-plus break-even next week. Yeah, 60-plus break-even, that probably makes me think that, yes, a decent time to sell. I do like that the Titans score points and that he does seem like he gets involved. So I don't think it's harm to have to hold him if you wanted to kind of just keep him as like a sixth center wing that you needed to plug in. Just going to have a quick look at the Titans draw. So you've got the Dolphins, Manly, Parramatta, Knights, and then Bulldogs. So again, that run is not too bad. And he is going to be volatile during that period. So I think he's not one you have to urgently sell. But look, if you can lock in some, like Cam Pereira to say Manu, for example. I know we've said Manu's not been looking the best, but Roosters have got a good draw. Maybe someone like Manu could take your fancy as well. So yeah, a few people saying like Jay Waltz TV says Cam Pereira to who? You know, he'll probably get closer to like 480K. So around his price tag, to be honest, someone I can think about is Sione Katoa. Sione Katoa is around that late 400s price tag. He only scored 25, I know. But he is someone who, you know, at 497K could be an option with their Sharks draw. Just knowing that you can get some, you know, get a piece of that Sharks attacking backline. So he's maybe a pod option that you can consider. You've got Manu there, obviously, for a little bit more expensive. I'm just also thinking about round 13 players. So if you go team by team, Parramatta. I think there was a question about Will Pennicini before. He has had a few good weeks. They're using him in attack quite well. He's got a good combination with Ryan Madison. So he scored 96 points. So he scored obviously a big, big points total this week. Good base stats as well. 15 in tackles with 26 in runs. So 41 in base is quite strong. He's at a good price as well, 560K. He will go up a bit more to like say the 590. Just going to have a quick look. And he's averaging 60 through the season. So like 55, 66, 56, 74. Like those are some pretty solid scores. So again, if you want buy coverage, someone from Parramatta, Will Pennicini could be your man. Maybe Mike Acevo, for example, for that as well. If you want to go a bit more of a pod with a maybe higher ceiling. You know, Jack Bird in the center wing, he covers round 13. The Rabbitohs also do, so maybe Alex Johnston. Like, I think there's quite a few options who, if you're specifically looking for a round 13 player. Garrick obviously screams out there too. So I think there's plenty of options that we can think about. And I guess this kind of just take your fancy. If for me, Carras to Garrick feels quite straightforward, and it depends on the money situation what I could do, but I'd be kind of tempted to maybe go cheaper with Katoa, but otherwise Will Pennicini does look pretty good as well. Pretty solid, safe scores. Do I keep Warbrick? Someone in the chat, if you know kind of roughly what his projected BE will be, that would be very helpful. So please help me out there if you can. So he scored 65 points. And again, I might probably give a shout out to the Whisperer who played Will Warbrick over Tom Trbojevic. And just messaging him throughout that game, he was absolutely... I can't say the word, but he was on edge, put it that way, on edge, because obviously a bit of a scary prospect playing this winger we know who can go very, very low against one of the best fullbacks in our game, and he won out by 8 points. And I said to him, surely the 8 points wasn't worth the 80 minutes of pain, and he said, no way, it was not worth it. but yeah, so 65 points from him, and he had a break even, I think, of 48. So yeah, I think he may... almost be peaking in price as well. The good thing with him is that he has the buy in round 9, so at least that's a week where you know he won't change in price. So not too bad. If he can pull out another decent score next week, he might be someone who you don't have to move on until maybe round 10 or so. How much cash would be needed for Carras to Garrick? So I think Garrick is, what, 730k? 701k. So I think you'd probably need about 50, I'm going to guess between 50 to 60k, I think, where Carras is going to end up to get to Garrick. So it's not too much money. You know, a lot of people may have made some money downgrading this week. Jared Croker, what did Jared Croker even score? Sure, I needed to keep an eye on him. 35, not great. But if he gets named again, look, he could be someone who I think people may very easily go Camperero to Croker, pocket 200k, and then Carras to Garrick. You're still left with 150k for the following weeks as well. Carras to Graham. Yeah, Campbell Graham. The good thing with Campbell Graham, even with the tougher runner games that the Rabbitohs have got, is that he's got very good base stats, so you know he's going to be pretty safe. And they do seem to be favouring the right side attack a little bit more than maybe the left this season so far. So we know he's good for base stats. He's going to give you solid scores. So I think he's definitely worth a shout as well. Marzu to Garrick. I think we discussed it before, Galway. I'm personally not looking really at selling Marzu. I think 42 against best defence in the comp with no attacking stats, like, it's a really solid floor. So he doesn't scream sell to me at this stage. Warbrick 46 break even. Yeah, 46 break even. I think he could just be a hold for another week or so, to be honest. And like, even if he went low that week, in round nine, he wouldn't change in price. So I think he's someone who maybe in round 10, 11, you could actually look to move on. Tommy, a hold? Absolutely. Tigers and Titans the next two. That's all I'm going to keep saying. Do you not want to own Tom Trbojevic against the West Tigers? Like, he could be a captain shout next week. Because the thing is, Penrith versus the Rabbitohs. So Cleary might be a VC option, but do you want to captain him? Maybe not. I know we're looking a little bit ahead. You've got Bulldogs versus Sharks, so fair enough. Nico Hines could be the captain shout there. But then you've got West Tigers versus Manly, so Manly could easily be, like, Tom could be the captain shout there. Just thinking about that, Would I even VC Hines? I'd probably, because you can't VC Cleary, C Hines. You obviously can only do one of the two. I would probably, with Broncos versus the Eels, I'd probably go VC Walsh and I'll probably captain Hines next week. Or I go VC Hines, captain Turbo. But there's a good chance actually I don't captain Trbojevic, because I'm looking at that Sharks game thinking, with these injuries now as well, the poor doggies have been cursed. Yeah, Hines could be the shout for captain, but not Trbojevic, but not selling Tom Trbojevic. Is D-Bags a sell? And he's not delivering what I would have hoped. But I bought him for the long term. I bought him for that buy coverage. And he's not getting major attacking stats. And he's still getting in like 60s. Like high 50s, low 60s. It's kind of given me some feeling of 2021 where he was really solid, would get you like 55 points a game, but no attacking stats. Like this game, he racked up like 18 points and 4 dropouts. So he's still getting some, he's still getting the points. Not obviously the points like Cody Walker has the last 2 weeks, but just knowing that I can plug him in there and just keep him until pretty much the rest of the season, to be honest. And my plan at this stage, I think, is round 11, maybe to try get Cody, because you can see with the Rabbitohs, they've got, who have they got? They've got the Tigers, Parramatta, and then the Raiders. And Cody will play round 13. He's not going to play in Origin as well. Then it's the Titans and the Dragons. I think Cody would just be nice during that little period there. And even after that, Cowboys, Warriors, Bulldogs, like the draw is starting to open up, I think, from round 11. So I will definitely be eyeing up Cody Walker, I think, because Munster at that point, you know, will have Origin and things like that. So he probably would become less of an option. So I kind of like having maybe a Dylan Brown, Cody Walker combination. But I don't feel like Cody's, I don't feel like Dylan Brown's a sell. Would I be selling Cody Walker this week? To me, that feels a little bit too cute. Like, I know he's obviously gone up in price and you'll pocket some money if you sold him, but, you know, Penrith is obviously tough, but I'm just, again, we just spoke about it, round 11 onwards. I like those run of games coming up there. So I think I'd be holding Cody, because I think a lot of people will be trying to get him in round 11. Plans for Dury. No plans, really. Like, if Hodgson is back next week from the flu, then I suspect that Brendan Hands will come back onto the bench. And if Dury just gets ruled out, then he'll just be sitting there as a non-player. So I think for the time being, because it's in second row forward, which you can kind of cover with the likes of, you know, I've got 4 playable second row forwards there, and if Schuster's fit, he's also an option. So I feel like I can just cover for him. And when there's no standout downgrades at this stage, I'll probably just look to keep him sitting there, I think, for this little period. Just having a look at with time, we've gone for 53 minutes. Just going to have a quick look-see at any games that we may not have covered yet. I know I haven't really gone through game by game in detail, but I find it's nice just going through some of your questions as well, because it also makes me think about what we need to chat a bit more about this week. Is Hayes Perham a definite sell? I'm surprised people are still owning him, to be honest. I don't mean that in a bad way, Ruster Mouse. What did he score? 25 points. What's the doggy's draw like? Sharks, Dragons, Canberra, Warriors, Titans. It's not bad, but he's just, I don't know. He's been okay, but like an average of 53 is fine for his price tag. Not a definite sell, because I think those games are not too bad. And like, I mean, looking at that, 69, 63, 63, 68, 20 and 25. So he's had a couple of bad weeks, but looking at this draw coming up, sorry, I should have seen what his price was. Because if he's cheap, I think you could just maybe hold him as a option just on your bench to cover and play in those better matchups. He's 510k, so he's not cheap, but look, I think if you needed to sell him to make money to create some downgrades, then like as Robbie says, definitely sell. He's funding my Fifita trade this week, like something like that. I'd say go for it, sell him. But the draw's not too bad, so I think you can maybe afford to hold him as well. All right, we'll go for another 5 or so minutes. So we'll keep answering questions in that time as well. Fifita, don't make Origin, please. I doubt he's not going to play Origin. I think he will definitely play this. He's playing really well. I had Kalomatungi and Karaz. We'll go Garrick or Graham, but thoughts on Tuara for placement from Detrick's Clips. Look, second row forward, the options that I do like, I think if you've got the funds, Nikara from the Sharks seems to be a pretty good pod. Really good draw for the Sharks coming up, I think. If you want someone who'll cover round 13, well, it's not a guarantee who'll cover round 13, but Ryan Madison has scored well this week. Our boy Sean Lane's not quite hit the straps yet, but hopefully he just keeps plodding along, getting some low scores. And if we can get Sean Lane for like 550k in round 13, that'd be quite nice. But yeah, Madison is probably the option, I think. Hold Karaz until Manu bottoms out, then trade Karaz to Manu. I don't think you need, the thing is, Ian, is that I think I wouldn't be probably doing that particular strategy, because I think, yes, while Manu's can drop in price, I think sometimes we do need to also just take that chance and just jump on a player, even if he has a high break even, just to try to get those points and get a step ahead of everyone. Because if others are thinking, oh, look, Manu scored 33 points with 144 break even, I'm going to wait for him to keep getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. By the time it might be another 1 or 2 weeks, at which point Kharaz may only be, say, be maybe 1 week away, but Manu maybe against the Dragons and then against whoever they've got Warriors. Or maybe not so much the Warriors, but say the Dragons, he scores 95, and Warriors maybe he goes 70. It's like 160 points that you've maybe missed out on, and then you're kind of thinking, oh, maybe I should have just made the move and forgotten about him going down in price. So I think if you're keen on Manu, and Kharaz is the way to get there, I would just do it this week, if I'm being honest. But in saying all of this about Manu, I'm still not quite there yet, I think, myself. If I can get to him very easily with trades this week, I might do it, but I'm still not seeing enough yet, I think, in my opinion. I'm a bit more skeptical. Like, I'm a Roosters fan, so I'm a bit more, like, probably overly critical of them, but even then, Manu himself, I don't think, is really putting up the numbers that we were seeing from last season either. And yeah, Roosters just still not clicking. I'd be interested to see, just on the topic of second row forwards, I know Angus Crichton did play New South Wales Cup. He might not be someone that you have to jump on straight away, but just someone to keep in the back of your mind as well, because we know with Angus that he is a gun second row forward. The interesting thing, I think, with him is that whether he'll play Origin still after taking up so much time away. Because if he's not, then he could be a real good option during the Origin period, because we know Gus is a gun. Just having a quick look at Manu's numbers just on my screen. Let me bring it up. 71, 31. He has had a bit of a disrupted season. Like, he had a couple of suspensions and things like that. Missed round one as well. So 71, 31, and then 49. So the 71 was against the Warriors in round two. The base stats are good. 37, 35, and 37. Just need more of those tackle busting numbers, I think, to go up a bit. That's where really he was making all of his points last season. Let's see. A few more questions. Karastic Gagai. Dan Gagai. What did he score this week? I know he's posted up some pretty good numbers the last few rounds. 58 again. How much does he cost? 698k? Oof. Nah, I don't know. It doesn't thrill me. I'd rather maybe get Mulitalo, or maybe I'd probably rather Campbell Graham, or probably would rather Garrick, obviously. Manu, maybe even just with a draw. Mazu is far overpriced now. Better off going Miller. This is from Tom J. Is it Miller or Mazu time? Miller or Mazu time? So Miller is like, what, 700 something K? 781 K. Holy moly. He's way more expensive than I thought. And Mazu is what, 698 K? Where is Mazu? Oh, yeah, sorry. 696k with a 24 break even. So I think this week, yeah, Miller will still be like 60k more expensive than Mazu. I still think Miller is the pick, just because he's goal kicking. If he can keep practicing his goal kicking, that would be helpful as well for any owners out there. But he's been killing it, and I think the goal kicking really does help him. So I think out of the two, I think I would still stick with Miller. Back when everyone bought Mazu, there was like a 200k difference, so it made a lot more sense. At this point, I would probably say maybe just spend the extra and go Miller. Isako with the Titans. Yeah, look, Dolphins have got the Titans matchup this week, which is obviously quite good. Then it's the Raiders, Sharks before a bye. So they do play round 13, and they've got the Dragons in that week, so that's pretty good. Kharaz to Nick Meaney. Nick Meaney has been good, but let's see what happens with his concussion, because he got delayed concussion symptoms, so I'll be interested to see what happens there. But he's got the bye in round 9 as well, so I don't know if I will want to jump on him at this point. speaking of Storm players, we didn't really talk about Harry Grant. Pretty limited game. I think Manly limited him to only like 4 runs. So a very quiet game from Harry. So he is probably someone who I think, not right now, but I think come set of Origin time, I will probably sell him. Did the same thing last year and it did work out where he had a great start to the season, but then just during the middle of the season was getting rested and stuff. It might be different this season because they don't have Brandon Smith, so he might just have to play more minutes. But yeah, Grant probably could be someone who I think over the Origin period I might lose him. And on a replacement, Jeremy Marshall-King I think is probably the go. I suspect Damien Cook will get involved with Origin still. Reid Meinie had a not great week this week. Sonny Luke maybe, but again, he also didn't score amazing. But Jeremy Marshall-King has just looked really good to the eye and he's also scoring well. I think he's the one who I think at hooker a lot of people would go to. And he has a Titans matchup this week, which is good. Plus, he also has a Dragons team in round 13. So, this is tempting for a few reasons there. So, I think he'll be quite popular around the bye period, in my opinion. All right, Tony says, what did Tony say? 11-12 this week. Is that a decent score? That's a very, very good score this week. For anyone who's joined late, basically over 1,000 is fine. 1050 plus, good. 1100 plus is fantastic week. All right, guys, we'll go on for an hour now, so we might wrap up the stream there. Thank you all for tuning in this Sunday evening. Please do give the stream the like on the way out as well. If you did enjoy it, please do consider subscribing as well if you're a viewer and you haven't subscribed yet to the channel. The goal will still be to try to get to 3,000 by the end of the season, which would be fantastic if we could do that. So keep up the support. Really do appreciate it. Have a good rest of your evening, and we'll catch you all again next week. Oh, no, don't do this to me again. Tom J. Tom, what a man. Tom did this last week. Tom gifted 20 of my memberships last week. And at the drop of the stream, he's done it again. He has done it again, followed it up. Tommy J, you are a gift from the heavens. What a man. All right, so Tom has just basically gifted 20 memberships. As part of this membership, you can use emojis. And one of the emojis is what a man. I want every new member to be spamming in the chat what a man emoticons for Tom. Not for me, but for Tom. Tom, really, really appreciate that as well. If anyone is interested in being a member, it's like 99 cents a month. It's barely anything. And you do get access to my buy planner spreadsheet, which I've been showing during the stream. And it's more just for supporting the channel. There's no additional king. But yeah, Tom, I think Galway says it correctly. What a king. Yep, captain him. I think we need to captain Tom J. But Tom, you've been so generous. You did this last week as well. So I really appreciate it. And I feel like you must be waiting all stream for me to say, all right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up before you say, all right, I'm going to hit him with the 20 memberships. But poem for Tom. A poem for Tom. Do I, oh, mate? You'll have to let me think about this one because I want to do him justice. I want to do him justice. You need new emojis. Okay, look, we'll try to think about some new emojis as well. There is a What a Manu emoji. I literally made that What a Manu emoji after his 191 last season. That's probably the one time in Supercoach ever I had such a strong feeling about a player doing well, and he ended up scoring 191. So I had to make something in honor of Manu. Maybe we'll change it for this season. But yeah, we'll try to think of some new emoticons as Mitchell says. But great way to end the stream. Thank you everyone for that. And again, big thanks to Tom for that awesome donation there to 20 lucky people. Give him your team, Tommy J. Give me your team because my team's still struggling at this point. Make Tom an emoji. Yeah, we might be able to do that. Maybe Tom, I'll speak with the YouTube folk, but maybe they can give you your own special emoji. If I can do that for you, I will deliver on that. Anyway, we'll wrap up the stream on that note. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you again for Tom for that wonderful gesture at the end. But see you all in the next stream. Cheers.